Pastor France is in Wales this morning. He's ministering at the church that we have a relationship with there, which I think he did tell you guys about the pastor that it has been diagnosed with cancer. So he's going there just to pray and to minister to the church. And yes, just remember them in your prayers through the day as well. And let's just trust, Lord, for even fruit to come from that relationship with the family over there and the body. And Joe, and I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for France and his family as our leaders. It's just a privilege for us to continue to carry them in prayer. France and Marisa are such a blessing to us. And I think we're so focused on what God is doing and what He's saying, we forget just how amazing He's blessed us with leaders like them. And I want to really encourage you to honor them and to pray for them as you are doing, to continue. And let's continue to do that. This morning, we are continuing with Purpose to Pursue. We've looked at Shofar Vision to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. And we're nearing the end of this encounter series that we've been looking at, and we're nearing the end of this season of camping out, as we were saying. And we've been looking at the values, the passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief. And then today we're continuing with purpose to pursue. And specifically, now it's time to put all this together that we've been looking at. And important when we're looking at purpose is that purpose does not stand still. And as we can see with Bianca and Bernay, and as Bernay was saying, is that when we pursue the purpose of God, there's, you know, country boundaries and cultural boundaries, there's so many things that kind of just fall away, because God is not limited to His, you know, His plan and His purpose. And it's such an amazing blessing to be a part of that. So this morning we're going to start to look at, you know, what is the next step. And what lies ahead now. If you remember, we started with the nation of Israel that were kind of camping out before entering into the promised land. And the Lord kind of renewed the covenant, His covenant with them. And in a similar way, we've been standing still at the vision and the values that God has given us, reworking and kind of looking at them from every side and making sure we're all on the same page. We consecrated ourselves as they did. And I want to really just encourage you again, you know, if you, these vision and values, they're not just somebody that sat down in the morning and kind of had a thought and then thought, okay, this sounds cool, this rhymes, and these all start with a P, so let's write these down and make them our values. It's really, I've such a conviction about this, and I want to encourage you in this, that if you are a part of this family and if you believe that God has added you to this family, then these purpose, these vision, and this vision and these values represent the best of God for you for now. His provision and His purpose and His plan. This is God's love for you in such a clear format. Because this is why He's given us this, because He loves us. And He says, "This is, I love you so much, I want to give you this vision and these values, I want you to run with this." So often, you know, we see, no, it's just like this list of to-dos we have to do. It's not like that. It's the love of God saying, "I love you, and this is my purpose for you, this is my plan. Take a hold of this, and you're going to be blessed." And as we continue with this morning, keep that in the back of your mind. So now the time of camping out is drawing to a close. And it's time to get ready to move. And as the Israelites had to make preparations to cross the Jordan, they also, I read yesterday again, the men that were born in the wilderness had to get circumcised. And so you don't have to worry. We're not going to do that. But I just read that again. I thought, wow, that must have been hectic because they were already, like a lot of them were like 40. They were, you know, at least, well, the oldest would have been about 40. So that wasn't a joke. But in any case, so they that was part of the consecration bit and re-establishing the covenant. And but they had to prepare themselves. They had to ready the weapons again because they knew there's going to be some altercations on the other side. They had to get organized. And, you know, I was reminded of family holidays, you know, when a family needs to get organized. I don't know if you had these, but we had these family holidays from time to time. And specifically if it was a camping holiday, there was like endless arrangements to be made and things to be packed. And the last morning was always absolute chaos, you know, because you're running around and this must go in the trailer and this must go there. And then one of the kids is missing, doing their own thing somewhere, you know. And in a similar way, we're in that place now. We have to kind of make preparations, make sure, you know, vehicles fueled up, tires are ready, everything is ready, so that when the Lord takes us from here, we're ready to go. And, you know, it's also a place of making sure everybody is there in the car when we leave. And when you have a big family, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it is possible to leave someone behind. and we're at that place now. We don't want to leave anybody behind. So that's part of what we're doing this morning, and we're going to do in the next few weeks. We want to make sure we're all together, make sure everybody's prepared, and that we can move when we need to move with God and leave no one behind. Are you excited about that? Let's look at Joshua 3, from verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So that's almost where we know. In verse 5, and Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." So it's a kind of with a sense of expectation that we are kind of making preparations for this new season that we believe God is taking us into. And it's kind of, you know, a season of preparation and a season of equipping. And just as the nation of Israel had to kind of look at their strategies and they had to think about how they're going to do this and pray and hear from God, in the same way, we at that place now. And if you've ever gone on a family trip like that, or even something as simple as going for a walk in the park, you know, you when you do your planning and you in front of that map in the park, say Richmond Park, where I like to go and cycle, they've got these big maps out, and it's a big park, so it's important to look at the map and to see what's happening. But you can plan, and you can say, wow, it's big, and it's amazing, and look at all these nice paths and ponds and amazing things in the park. You can do that all you like, but unless you know where you are on the map, it's not going to help you anything. You know what I'm talking about. That little mark that says you are here. If you can't find that, you have a problem. Okay, it's the same in a big shopping center. It's crazy. If you can't find that little thing that says you are here, then you don't have a place to start. And that's basically a little bit also that I'm trusting the Lord for this morning, is that for all of us as individuals, but also as a body, to see, okay, this is where we're at. That's where I am on this map. And this is where I need to go, type of thing. And all of us are not in the same place necessarily in our walk with God, in our preparation for where God is taking us. But I want to really encourage you that during this morning, as we progress, trust the Holy Spirit to point out things in your heart, to say, you know, okay, I want to grow in that area. I know I've been struggling with this, but I'm going to really trust God to have breakthrough in that area, because I want to be prepared when we move. We're going to look at some very practical things. And it's really also in terms of your relationship with God and your relationship with the body of Christ. I want us to be at the place at the end of this morning where we can say, okay, that's where I'm at, this is where I am, and then take the first step in terms of, okay, Lord, I want to be prepared. I want to go through these preparations, and I want to be ready when you're ready to move. Okay. So this morning we want to see where you are here is. Okay. No, okay. What does it mean to prepare the family? We're going to look at some very basic things in the couple of weeks to come. So I always see it like the Israelites preparing for the crossing over. They need to be very practical about things. They need to be ready if they need to, you know, fight. They're going to be ready in terms of what they need to transport. You know, a whole lot of practical things. And for a lot of us, it's going to sound familiar. Okay, so if you do hear a lot of things that are familiar across over the next few weeks, don't switch off. Okay, this is a great opportunity to refresh, sharpen your sword, get ready. And specifically, you know, we're moving into a season where each of us is going to be a disciple maker. That privilege of making disciples is not reserved for someone standing here with a mic or a small group facilitator, something like that. Every one of us have been called to be disciple makers. So I want to really encourage you. We're going to touch on some basic topics over the next few weeks. But listen as if, or with the intention of being able to share this with someone. So when we're dealing with basic things about our relationship with God and relationship with the Trinity, then yes, listen for yourself, but listen because you're also going to be sharing this with someone else, taking the hand of someone else and walking them on this path. Okay, so if it does sound familiar, don't think this is time to just have a snooze and catch up on your sleep in church. I feel like doing that this morning. As you can hear, I'm a little bit under the weather, but I got people praying for me, I know. Okay. You know, I'm reminded of when I was doing skydiving and also did some scuba diving. And those are one of the two things that every time you go, if you haven't done it for a while, they do a quick refresher course just to make sure you know the basics so you don't kill yourself. Okay? So see it like that. It's not that serious. But it's important, you know. It's kind of, no, I know that stuff, you know. I'm just going to take it easy. And then you forget one little thing and it's not cool. But so it's really a time of, okay, refreshing, getting, just recapping. And then, and again, we're all on the same page. And as we move forward, nobody gets left behind. So it's actually really exciting. And there are going to be some opportunities for equipping in the next few weeks. I'll mention some of them as we go this morning. But take a hold of those, okay? So we're going to have times, we're going to have courses presented, etc. And obviously in the sermons are going to be the big ones. And then the discussions in the week, whether it be an encounter for, I think, one or two more sessions, at least one. Or in the home group, those are very important equipping opportunities, okay? So I want to encourage you to grab a hold of those. Okay, first things first. We're going to be looking at basics like our relationship with God, salvation, relating to the Trinity. And before we move forward together in the purpose of God, it's important that we just kind of have agreement of, are we all following the same commander-in-chief? You know, if you're looking at the Israelites, you know, if you're going into a war situation, it doesn't really work if you have two commanders in chiefs, because then it's going to be chaos. Two visions is division. All right. So let's read from Joshua 5, from verse 13-15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. You see, an incredible, powerful encounter that Joshua has with God. And what actually happens is it's a pre-incarnate Jesus that meets with him as the commander of the armies of the Lord. Must have been a bit scary. But as you see from his reaction, he kind of falls on his face when he realizes what's happening, and he just worships God. And it's incredible when we notice here that Jesus doesn't really answer his question. I mean, he asks, you know, are you for us or are you against us? You know, whose side are you on? And Jesus doesn't kind of ignore that. He says, no, the important thing is, I am the commander. So, and Jesus doesn't have to answer his question because he is the commander of the army. And it's for Joshua and for us now to decide to kind of have clarity on who are we following. Are we following the commander, and to yield to his lordship and to his command? And incredible picture here. And it's such a key moment in the history of the nation of Israel. And I think for us it's the same. It's a place where we need to have clarity in our mind. Okay, first and foremost, Jesus Christ is the one we're following. He is the one. He's our commander-in-chief. What he says goes. And if he sends you to Joburg, that's the way it is, you know, to go with the joyful heart. If he's called you, yeah, go 100%, yeah, type of thing. And it's like the father of a family when the plans have been, you know, set for the family holiday, then, you know, this what he says goes. And if we want order, and if we want to really have a good time on the holiday, we need to kind of listen to what he says. And at the same place specifically, we need to have clarity on, has he called me to be here now? And if he has, that has certain implications. That has implications in terms of, okay, if this is the body I need to be in, if God has called me to be here now, then it's going to have implications in terms of how I serve, how I get involved, how I take responsibility in the family, all the things, a lot of the things that we've been looking at in the last few weeks. Okay, so that's the first step. All in agreement about who's the commander in chief and who's gonna be leading us. Excuse me. We're gonna be looking at that in detail. We're gonna be looking at salvation, and we're gonna be looking at how we relate to the Trinity, etc. Now, after you've kind of have clarity about who your commander is and who's your father and who's the one that you're following, there's a place of making sure everybody else knows as well. And in the Christian walk, it's what we call baptism. And we're going to be looking at that as well, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it now. But baptism is a place where you make a public declaration. You're basically putting on it's like when you go on a sports field or into war, you make sure that you have got the right colors and the right uniform, so everybody can know which side you're on. Okay, do you agree that that's important? Specifically in a full contact sport, it's important. You know, I remember I once got concussion in a rugby game. This very big guy tackled me, very big. You know, you guys don't understand. This guy was very big. In any case, so he kind of grabbed me around my arms and put my head into the ground. At quite a speed, like at an angle like that. And I lost most of the skin on this side of my face. So I had this big scab here later. But at that stage, I was fine, you know. What coach said, listen, are you fine? So no, I'm 100%. So then when they saw me walking to the wrong side of the field to join the other team, then I realized I'm not okay. So then they took me off. But it's like that, you know, you have to be clear on what colors have you got on, which side are you on. And that's what happens at baptism. You're basically saying to the whole spiritual realm and to everybody in the natural realm, you're saying, I've identified with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're making a declaration of what's happened in your heart and in your life, and you are dying with Christ and you're rising with Christ, and you're now living in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and which I'm saying very quickly, and but which has got incredible significance, and it's really powerful. So that's kind of a declaration that goes with baptism. We're going to look at it more at that and make sure we're all on the same page. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I said it so aptly there. We put on Christ when we are baptized. It's a kind of, you're putting on a cloak. You're putting on a you're putting on a person. And that's what why baptism is so crucial, that because we identify with Christ in such a powerful way. Okay. And next, we're going to look at what it means to walk in the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And again, this is something we've looked at before, but it's such a crucial part of our relationship with God. And often we blasé about the gifts and the, we charismatic or we spirit filled or whatever, and we realize that we miss that relationship, that what it means to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at what it means to have partnership with the Holy Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit. We're going to just again look at what it means to yield, to live a life that is yielded to the Spirit. You know, you can, you know, when you read about this, the fruit of the Spirit, let me just recap you, Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Immediately the Holy Spirit is convicting me of some things right there. But, you know, it's, fruit are not things that you can earn. You can't just put in lots of effort and, yeah, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to be patient. Nah. You know, you know, it's really a fruit. It grows and flourishes, and specifically in this case, when we live with the Holy Spirit, and in that communion with the Holy Spirit in a very intimate way, that fruit comes from that relationship with the Holy Spirit, that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can force. It's just something that when in face time with God, in His presence, in communion with the Holy Spirit, learning to. You know, to hear His voice, as we've been speaking about, and responding to it, that whole relationship, that brings fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So we're going to look at a bit of that. And then 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we're going to look at what does it mean, you know, to walk not according to the flesh, but to walk according to the Spirit. And we're going to look at, you know, those the gifts of the Spirit and so many things that God has empowered us with to be able to war in the Spirit. And, you know, I think it was about 2 weeks ago when we spoke about that, responding to God. And often it's the biggest battle is in our minds. We battle about hearing God and not having anything in the way, tuning into what He's saying, getting rid of all the interference, and really hearing what He's saying. And often that's where we need to know what the weapons of our warfare are, to get rid of every attack from the enemy and to hear what God is saying. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So we're going to look very importantly at, you know, that place of intimacy with the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit continually. We're going to look at the gifts. What does it mean, like I said, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Spirit? It's like the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. You know, often I see that picture of us going into battle or going into a challenging situation, and you know you've got the sword of the Spirit, you know, and often I felt like that. I pull out my sword of the Spirit, and then I get a fright because it's only this long. You know, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is that thing again? You know, and then so it's really just thinking again. We need to look at encouraging one another to fill ourselves with the Word of God, to really walk in that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, where He can remind us of the Scripture that we've put in, and that we've kind of read and we've studied. And the gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are not only to warfare, but it's to serve the body, as you know, to serve the family, not only those in the family, but those around the family. And I'm really excited about what God is wanting to restore to us as His body and His family, the place where we can minister the love of God to people amongst us and people around us in a very real way, in a way that goes beyond what is naturally possible, beyond what people understand and know, but that a way that really connects people with the love of God and the heart of God. So we're going to continue with our regular intercession and fasting, and that's going to be really crucial for us. I'm going to encourage you to get around to those, to, you know, to be in tune with what God is saying, even in the mornings before church. That's where the real exciting stuff happens, when we really war in the Spirit, when we hear from God, when He clearly directs us in what He has prepared for us. But in terms of the gifts of the Spirit and moving in the power of God, I don't know if you've been reading the newsletter, but we've had these reports coming through from what they call SOS. Anybody? No? Yes? One or two? Go and read the newsletter if you haven't. But SOS is what they call the School of the Supernatural. And it's amazing things what God has been doing through the guys that, you know, they've been kind of really seeking God in terms of ministering to people in the gifts in a very unthreatening way. What has happened is see us and the team go out to a trance festival somewhere and where there's a lot of drugs and alcohol and a lot of chaos happening, and there's a lot of stalls there for with things to eat and some spiritual things as well. You can do readings and stuff, and so they also put on up a little gazebo, and then they have a banner that says, yeah, I think something like spiritual cleansing, physical healing, stuff like that, and then people can come. And then people come, and people get healed, people get delivered. They have incredible miracles happening because it's such a powerful thing, because people are coming with a need. And they ask, obviously, so who's your medium? And a lot of people have questions, and they're obviously clear about that we pray through Jesus Christ, and we trust in God, and He's our healer. But it's incredible to see how God responds when we're reaching out in love to people. So I'm really excited about see us coming and presenting just a training program. And it's not like you can learn a formula, but He's coming, and we're really trusting for an impartation of what God's been doing, and just an impartation of a desire for the gifts, as Paul writes, desire the gifts. So I want to really encourage you. Pastor Sias is coming at the end of May, that last bank holiday weekend in May. I know some of you have already made plans. It's time enough to cancel. But he'll be here on the Sunday ministering in church. And then on the Monday, when most of you will be back from your weekend, we'll probably be do the training at the church office. So it's the 30th of May. I want to really encourage you, if you can be there. I really have an expectation for what God wants to do. And I'm trusting that we're going to be able to have a practical afterwards. And if that's scary to you, then you must be there. It's scary to me as well, but it's so amazing, that place where we walk in fellowship and in partnership with the Holy Spirit. I remember, you know, I've seen people get healed there on King's Cross Station, just random God just reaching out to random people, wanting to love them, and them just being impacted by the power of God. And I really feel there's a place where God wants to call us back to ministering His love in the power of God, and just seeing people healed and restored and delivered. It's not about the miracle, it's about God ministering His love to someone in a very special way. So I want to really encourage you to don't miss out on what God is doing. And as we in this preparation phase now, when it gets more practical, we're going to have a few changes. Okay, so put on your seatbelt. you know, as a family gets organized, sometimes the roles in the family shift a bit. So we're going to have the same. Some roles are going to change, specifically regarding our small group structure. We're going to be, in this time, where we met together has really, yeah, has really helped us a lot in terms of God kind of showing, you know, giftings, and it's incredible to see how, you know, every member has something to bring. Every member has a role to play. Every member has a gift. And it's, I want to encourage you that don't get upset if things change a little bit. It's just God saying, okay, guys, every member of this family has a role to play. Every person has a place where they fit in and where they have something to bring, something to add. And so even in leadership, we're going to have some changes in terms of the small group specifically. I want to encourage, this is really a season where in humility we can encourage one another. You know, saying, listen, I really see that in you, and I really see that you're going to be a great facilitator, or whatever the case may be, or if you have some musical talent or whatever, to really encourage one another in what we see God is doing in somebody else's life. And it's going to take some humility because our roles will change. But it's not like one role is more important than the other. Like Paul writes, he says the foot can't say it's more important than the eye or whatever. Like, you know, it's not like the one member is better or more important. It's that the important thing is that the foot does what a foot needs to do and the eye does what the eye needs to do. And then we go get those two confused. Might get messy. But so that's where we're at. So please, prayerfully in humility, let's trust that we hear what God is saying and that we position ourselves and find that place in the body that God has prepared for us. If you're new here or you're visiting, just bear with us. This is kind of very much to do with God, where God is taking us. But in terms of the body of Christ, that this doesn't only apply to the local body. You know, if you are in the family of God, you have a role to play in a local body, and I want to encourage you to find that place and to find that place that He has prepared for you in the family. Okay, entering the land. Now, I've had people ask this question, you know, what is the promised land? Where is our promised land? Is it like a cool place that God has prepared for us, you know, with lots of sunshine and I'm just joking. But don't you love this time of year? The little buds come out and everything is transformed. It's absolutely amazing. And you look out our window, the one day it's still just, you know, branches, bare branches. The next day it's just color everywhere. It's amazing. As Brene was saying, I love it when some people preach my sermon before I get to the mic. But the promised land, the purpose of God, is not a physical place. It is not something, a place where we settle and we get comfortable and we know, okay, this is it. And it's the same with us as a family of believers. The promised land is not a geographical place or even an end destination. It's a continual following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ as we follow Him and walking in His purpose. And, you know, I see it as this, you know, we, as the Israelites, the nation was there camped on the banks of the Jordan. They could see Jericho, I believe, and they could see a bit of the land, but they couldn't see all of it. I've heard that Israel is quite small, but I'm sure, you know, they couldn't see everything. But so now what they could, but they could plan for what they could see, and the Lord could give them strategy for this bit. So this morning we're gonna look at a little bit of what that is that God is showing us now, and what is the first, you know, the cities that God wants us to take, and those things that God wants us to put our faith out for. Okay, so we've looked at what we're gonna do in the next few weeks, the preparation phase. Now we're going to look a little bit at what is this promised land and what does it mean? And it's basically us walking in the provision that God has made for us and walking in the victory that He has won for us on the cross and possessing that land, possessing that inheritance that He has made provision for, taking hold of it, walking in it, and doing it bit by bit. Even as, like I said, the Israelites had to do it bit by bit as the Lord took them, we're going to do it in the same way. If you remember, we've been saying that God is showing us that the practical way we're living out the vision at the moment is that He's telling us we should become a family with a mission and on a mission. Okay, so this is kind of our mission that God is showing us for the next few months. And we need to kind of position ourselves to walk in this provision that God has made for us. And I think you remember a few months ago, we said that we believe God is first saying to us, stand still, make sure you're a family, and then from there on, we're going to move out. And so the next part of the year, we're really trusting the Lord for everything we do to be, have more of a mission focus, to be more focused on, okay, Lord, we need to get out there. What does it mean to really serve our community? What does it mean to really minister your love to people around us? What are the practical ways we need to get out there and serve our community and bless and serve people with the love of Christ? In Joel chapter 3, it's a very urgent call. And the prophet says there in verse 13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And it talks of this urgency of the harvest that is ready, the urgency of people being in what they call the valley of decision, being in that struggle of having to make a choice between life and death, having to make a choice of who's going to be their commander, as I said in the beginning, who's the one that I'm following. And we see this urgency in Scripture, but it's difficult to make it our own and to really find that urgency when you go to your workplace or you see crowds in this, like yesterday in the city, when it got a bit chaotic apparently. But it's tricky for us to make it real, make it our own. I want to really encourage us to ask God, say, Lord, I want to see that harvest. I want to see how ready it is. And some of you may know this story, but I remember on one outreach, we were preparing to go into a shopping center to go and to minister to some people. And we were preparing to go into 2x2, you know, groups of two, to just pray for people, etc., and preparing. And then as we were praying together, kind of to the side so nobody can bother us and we didn't bother anybody, these two people came up to us, two men. And I was quite irritated. I said, can't they see we're praying? You know, it was being very spiritual. And I was like, God, can I help you? And they said, no, they want to be born again. So I was like, what? You know, we kind of psyching ourselves up, going, you know, taking the gospel to the people. And the Lord is kind of showing me how ready the harvest really is. And there are people out there that really just looking for somebody that can show them the way. Obviously, you get the extremes, you get all extremes. But the thing is, there's an urgency for people to meet with God. There's an urgency. There's many that have to make a decision, many that are struggling with these things. They're looking in so many other places. I mean, when we come to the psychic fair that they have here regularly and come to pray and minister to people, there's so many people searching, looking for answers. And it's just such an urgency God is giving us to meet the needs that He's showing us around in the community. So I'm going to have to end. So I'm just going to quickly run through some things that God is showing us now. Firstly, we're going to have more regular community outreaches. We're going to look at ways how we in small groups can minister to our community. So if you see something, if you see a need in your community, in your street, if you see even, you know, if it's an elderly person that is alone, that needs some fellowship or somebody to just look after them, you know, that's a need right there that we can do something about. And most of you have heard, we've started a body serve account that we can be prepared when the needs come. And I want to encourage you that it doesn't have to be this massive project out there and we all jump in there. If it's something small in your street and the Lord shows it to you and opens your eyes to it, then it's something we need to address. So come with your suggestions. You know, this is something the Lord's going to work in everybody's heart about. Okay. And then in terms of generations, God is laying on our hearts to prepare ourselves to be able to reach, as our vision is, generations. So we've been looking at different ways of, you know, having more age groups, being able to minister more to more age groups in the Shine, in the Children's Church. But as well, there's opportunities coming up for youth youth groups and to minister to youth. So if you have a heart for youth, start praying. Trust God with us. Strategy. We're looking at possible youth meetings. There's a lot of things, but there's a great need in the youth. There's a great need for kids from very small, obviously high school, to get to know God. Amen. So start praying about it. Put your faith with us. We're going to look at the practical ways how we can serve the community in those areas. The Gates School, as you know, we're starting a school. It's going to be one of the major ways we're reaching out to the community. It's very exciting. We're in the last stages of our negotiation with the people that we want to rent the building from. So as soon as that's settled, we're going to start with the renovations. So we're going to need some of your practical expertise. And some that don't have practical expertise, you'll also be able to help. Excuse me. That's really exciting. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for that. We're really trusting that the school will be one of many, just as our outreach to youth groups just be one of many to come. I see it as like, if Jericho was the first city that the Israelites, kind of the Lord gave to them, maybe the school and these things we see now is our first city, okay? But there will be many to come. So it's really a place of us really, you know, wrestling with the heart of God and hearing His voice and getting it right now so that we can multiply what He's giving and what He's doing now later on. And Wimbledon, our church meetings will probably move to where the school building is, and then that'll have an effect on service times and stuff like that. And chances are in Weybridge and Tooting, we're also going to have slight shifts in service times for various reasons, or some to do with venue changes. So there's a lot of little things that are going to change and shift and move. Part of the reason is that the closing the hall, as you've heard, maybe you haven't. Surprise. Anyways, they're closing this, looking to close down. But we're looking at ways to partner with the council. We're looking at different options for venues, and that might affect service times. But the basic is that God is moving, and we want to move with Him, so be ready. Okay, there's going to be some things that maybe not too comfortable. I like that seat there in the back left, and now we're going to move, you know. But it's exciting. It's exciting times. I want to encourage you to pray with us, to hear from God with us. If you get dreams and visions, some of you guys are very faithful with that. Send them through to us, because God speaks. Amen. And so be ready for some changes to happen. We will communicate them as the need arises, and that's why we're having the leadership meeting. What is it, next week or the week after? Along with the fast. So please be there so we can really hear from God and discuss these things. Okay. And at the same time, you know, the Lord has called us to reach nations. So as we're looking at these cities that God has given us now and these little bits of the promised land that are coming into view, and He's giving us strategy and He's giving us direction, at the same time we'll continue to pray about possible church plants in the greater London area, in the UK, in Europe. So continue to pray with us in that. That's part of what God has called us to do, is plant churches. And as everyone has a role to play in discipleship, so I believe if you're part of this family, you will have a role to play in church planting. So if that's news for you, I hope it's good news. But it's really exciting to be part of what God is doing. And so keep praying with us about the UK and Europe and where God's opening doors for us. I can see you're really excited about that. But some of you need to start preparing sermons and getting ready to help us out in the pulpit. Amen. Now, before we go, just want to close now, before we go on a family adventure or on a holiday, it's important to know that the family knows they're part of the family. Okay, I remember I had friends that they always reaching out to orphans and to guys that didn't have families, and they used to invite these guys to come with them on holiday. I remember it was also always a bit awkward at the beginning, because it's, you know, am I really part of this? How much do I can I take part in? And we really want to not have that in our family. We want to really have a liberty that you can know I'm part of this family. I can go to the fridge and help myself. You know, I heard about this guy way back when this church started. He really took this very literally, you know, and he got. But in a way, it's really cool. But he used to just walk into somebody's house and, oh, how are you guys doing? And then he used to go to the fridge and help himself. You know, and obviously in the cultural sense, some people were a bit surprised by that. But in a spiritual sense, there's really a place where we must have that liberty. You know, this is my family. This is my church. You know, I'm part of this family and we're going somewhere together. And at the start of this big adventure that we're going on as a family, I want to really encourage us that is kind of the key. Am I part of it? Am I not? The thing is, the invitation is open. Okay, let's read from John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is from the ESV. So this invitation stands through the work of Jesus Christ. God has put an invitation out there, and he says, I've given my son so that you might have life, so that you might be a part of the family of God, so that you might become part of the greater body, but also there's an invitation for you to become a part of the local body, of the local family. Excuse me. So, this is where we're at. And if you can just stand with me this morning, we're just gonna trust God for us to show us where we're at in terms of that. This morning, I have respect for the fact that we're not all in the same place, as I said before. But, you know, increasingly we find that where God is taking us, it becomes less and less possible for us to be indifferent. You know, it's kind of the possibility of just hanging in the middle somewhere and not really making a decision it just gets less and less possible. It becomes more difficult to just hang out in the gray area. And that's not necessarily bad. It's not comfortable, but it's really a place of God really wanting to help us to get clarity in our minds of where we're at with him. You know, looking back a few weeks, a month or so, we spoke about God saying, you know, I don't want you to be hot or cold type of thing. I don't want you to be lukewarm. They're very much a place of make a decision. And I'm not going to push anybody this morning to make a decision, but I want to say I'm going to trust God for urgency in your heart to have clarity about this. So this morning, I have respect for the fact that there might be people here that are still wrestling with even the basics of relationship with God. If you excuse me just 1 second, I'm just going to have a good cough, and then I'll be ready. Okay. Okay, grace is running out, so I have to finish. Thank you. So some of you might be standing and still wrestling with God, you know, wrestling with, am I following him? Is he my commander-in-chief? Am I ready to lay down my life for the sake of the gospel? Am I ready to take up my cross daily to follow him? And like I said, the invitation is there. God is... Okay, that's great.